I'm Carol Hills with The World. The effects of climate change are starting to make themselves clear just about everywhere. But one place where the changes are most dramatic is Greenland. The giant island holds the world's second largest ice sheet, and it's melting fast. Global warming is the big culprit, but scientists aren't so sure about a lot of the details. And they need to be to help figure out what might be ahead for the rest of us. Recently, The World's Ari Daniel visited Greenland with some folks who are trying to unlock parts of the mystery.
The breakfast is ordinary. Granola, yogurt, bread and jam. Everything else is anything but.
You'd pay $1 million for a view like this. Pretty nice breakfast buffet, I guess, for sitting out here next to the ice sheet.
Gordon Hamilton, detective number one in our story, is sitting on the rocky rim of a glacier. Kind of figures, I mean, the man is a glaciologist from the University of Maine by way of Scotland. But this isn't just any glacier. It's the Helheim Glacier, one of Greenland's biggest, a 3-mile-wide river of ice, a modeling of grays, whites, and stunning blues that flows into Sirmalik Fjord on the island's southeast coast. We're on one side of that fjord. Across, on the other side, that's where it is, what drew us here, a horizontal stripe running the length of the fjord, about 600 feet above the ice.
I mean, everybody who's come here with me said, what's that line over there? And I said, well, that's where the glacier was in 2003. It's kind of like the signal clue that something really big had happened.
Hamilton calls this clue the bathtub ring.
It represents the former height of the glacier surface.
Helheim's surface sat right around that line for decades, maybe longer. But about a decade ago, in the span of just a couple of years, it dropped dramatically.
And what that means is that all that volume of ice from the current surface up to the height of that bathtub ring, it's now in the ocean.
And the question is why?
Why? Why did that happen, right?
And what it might mean for all of us. You see, it's not just Helheim. Most of Greenland is covered by a massive block of ice, so big it's difficult to imagine, even right here on the edge of it.
Look at this landscape. It's just, you can't take your eyes off it. It's gorgeous.
Helheim is just one of thousands of glaciers that drain that ice sheet into the sea. And right around the time this bathtub ring showed up, some of the other big glaciers also changed suddenly.
They retreated very quickly back up their fjords. Their flow speed doubled or tripled. And this had the effect of putting more icebergs into the ocean. And when you put icebergs into the ocean, you cause sea levels to rise.
So what happened here? To find our next clue requires going airborne.
Is it clear on your side? Yeah, it's clear.
One perk of being a glaciologist is the helicopter rides. This one's taking us a few miles down the fjord beyond the glacier's terminus. The pilots got the thing hovering like 50 feet above the water below. There are icebergs the size of football stadiums in every direction.
So, open the doors, open the doors.
Daniel Sulak, a graduate student from the University of Oregon, slides the chopper door to one side. It's okay, he's roped in. He sits on the floor with a spool of copper wire that's got a thermometer on one end.
Okay, prepare for launch probe.
Sulak shoots the probe into the water.
Did you see this eye? The data's plotting on the screen as it drops through the ocean.
I lean over Hamilton's shoulder and watch the temperature plot in real time on a screen. It's a hair colder than 0 degrees Celsius near the surface, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, the freezing point of fresh water. But it's not frozen because salt water freezes at about minus 2 Celsius. As the probe goes deeper, the water gets even colder, but then it gets warmer again, and at the bottom of the fjord,
temperature is 4.04 degrees centigrade.
That's 39 degrees Fahrenheit, warm enough to melt glacial ice.
We think it's this water that's coming into contact with the edge of the ice sheet and causing the rapid melting of the outlet glaciers.
For Hamilton, it's a key clue. We know that some of Greenland's ice is melting due to warm air overhead, and he can't be sure because no one was measuring the water temperature here a decade ago, but Hamilton thinks warming water below was probably what triggered Helheim's dramatic change. Of course, that answer leads us smack into another question. Where's all this warm water coming from?
Coming up on the crane.
60 miles down the Sirmalik Fjord near its mouth, ocean engineer Will Ostrom stands aboard the Adolf Jensen, a converted fishing trawler. He's just hauled in a temperature and salinity recorder from the iceberg-clotted water. It takes skill to navigate the slow-moving ship, but challenging as it is, this is where the ship must be.
What we're doing here is understanding how the glacier talks to the ocean and the ocean talks to the glacier.
Fiamma Stranio, our second detective, is using an array of instruments to eavesdrop on that conversation. She's a physical oceanographer, originally from Italy and now at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Stranio always knew that warm water from farther south in the Atlantic flows along the coast of Greenland. She also knew that climate change is helping make that water even warmer than it used to be. But until a few years ago, she thought that water stayed out of the fjords.
We had expected that we'd find some structural barriers where the fjord starts so that the waters couldn't get in. But instead we found these deep troughs. The fjord was wide open.
And it was the same for others, nothing to keep the warming water out of the fjords. This at least partly answers Gordon Hamilton's question, how that warm water is getting to the base of the glaciers. But there are still other big questions, like why did the glacier drop so suddenly a decade ago? Hamilton says the evidence suggests there's a kind of tipping point, that glaciers like Helheim can remain stable in near-freezing water, but that even a little more heat in the water can destabilize them. Now, that doesn't explain why Helheim seems to have restabilized. It also doesn't tell us whether or when it'll get hit with another massive melt. But Fiamastranio says this fjord and its glacier are fairly typical.
What we found was that these fjords, not just this one, but all the big fjords around Greenland, are filled with these warm Atlantic waters.
And she says one thing is quite clear.
What's happening in this fjord does not stay in this fjord.
Or any other fjord up here. There's a ton of ice in Greenland, trillions of tons, actually, enough to raise global sea levels 21 feet if all of it were to melt. No one can say yet how quickly that will happen, but Stranio says it's vital to learn as much as possible, and fast.
There's no doubt that sea level will rise in a warming planet, but what is important is to understand how quickly it will rise. We need to know this so that we can plan.
For Stranio, that means continuing to probe the waters here for subtle changes in temperature, salinity, even rare gases that provide telltale signs of where different patches of water are coming from. For Gordon Hamilton, it also means intently watching the glacier itself and its surface from a vantage point well above the bathtub ring. That's where he and a team of engineers are drilling and bolting some serious machinery into a flat patch of rock. They're installing a special kind of laser that will take precise measurements of the terminus over the next year.
By having a high-resolution view of the glacier's behavior and a high-resolution view of the ocean's behavior, we can start to link these two separate systems together and figure out what is the change in one system that causes the change in the other.
So, still lots of mysteries to be solved up here. But there's one thing that's just not a mystery. Greenland matters. To all of us. For The World, Ari Daniel, near Helheim Glacier, Greenland.
Ari's report was produced with help from our WGBH partners at NOVA and the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting.